Just once in, get back down the Lancaster, fast back in. And so that's what they did. Now may we go, please, to the 22nd chapter of Luke and the 17th verse. Luke 22 and 17. Let's see, I believe next Wednesday night is our business meeting, is that correct? Next Wednesday night, some of us will be meeting here to have our business meeting. And we expect a good time when we do business for the Lord. Luke, 22nd chapter and the 17th verse. Happy to see Mr. Eddie here today, along with Doc and Miss Haker. We looked in last Sunday. In fact, we missed a lot of you last Sunday. We're glad that Brother Jim and his two boys are here. Brother Jim has a bad stomach, and I wish some of you ladies or gentlemen or brethren would recommend to him a medicine that will cure an upset stomach. He's had a bad stomach for the last 2 weeks. He's had to work under those conditions. He's been forced to work. He's got to make a living like other men. He makes $12 an hour, but that's not enough to feed his two boys. It's too bad to me. But please, ladies, help him out on the medicine question. What kind of medicine would you feed a man? And now, if you were your husband, what would you feed him for our sick stomach? I know you ladies who are married have to feed your husband. How about that, please?
Does he have an ulcer?
Does he have an ulcer, young man? He used to have one.
P-E-G-A-M-E-T.
All right. And you get to him after service, and you get some medicine for that, and that's that time.
You have to get a prescription from your doctor to get that.
All right, a prescription. I see.
Have you tried to test those in?
November of 1963, I believe it was, at the funeral of Mr. John Kennedy. Now, I'm not coming down to anybody's religion. The priest at that funeral drank the wine that would bring his soul out of purgatory. He had a great big goblet, great big glass, I guess you call it a glass, and he drank that stuff as if he had not had a drink for 6 months. You can watch him on TV. Well, he really gulped it down. And then he prayed. Well, now, such as that, my brother, we're not bringing a man out of hell if he's down there. And we're not bringing out of purgatory because there's no such thing as purgatory. That's a fairy story hatched up in the minds of some men back in the Middle Ages in order to pull money out of somebody else's pocket. Jesus Christ, right here, in these two verses I've just read, has been talking about the Passover. He's been talking about the Passover. Now, the Passover was not used to save the souls of men. It was used in order to bring to memory the Israelites of their coming out of the land of Egypt to the land of Canaan, and also pointed forward to the time when Christ would die for them on the cross. So it had a backward look and it had a forward look back at the Passover. Now then, we find next, in verse number 19, we find the beginning of the Lord's Supper. And he took bread, and gave thanks, and broke it, and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you, this do in remembrance of me. Now that's the beginning of the Lord's Supper, when he took that bread. And it was bread without any foreign matter in it. I mean, now all it was just water and flour. And he took bread and gave thanks. Now that word, give thanks right there, we get our word Eucharist from that word, give thanks, Eucharist. And a lot of people have made a big thing about the Eucharist. And what they say, if you go to our church and partake of the Eucharist, you will save your soul. No, that will not save anybody's soul. The Eucharist never did save anybody. It takes the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to save the soul of a man, and that's the only thing in this world that will do. That blood must be applied to the soul of man before man or woman or girl can be saved. Not the Eucharist. I declare they have run that word into the ground and broke the thing off. They're not saved by some Eucharist. He took bread and gave thanks and broke it. He broke that bread and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is broken for you, which is given for you. His body was broken on the cross. It was broken in Pilate's hall. It was broken from Pilate's hall to the cross. And he suffered, as we said in the Sunday school lesson. He suffered. He suffered for the sins of man, and sin is always a cheater. I remember way back down in the 1920s, Mr. Eddy and others in this house who are old enough will remember perhaps this story. There was a lady by the name of Florence Jackson and three other companions who had the habit of picking up men in their automobile and taking them out to a lonely country lane and getting them drunk and then rolling them for their gold or their money. Well, sometime the victim was Howard Carter Dickinson. And Howard Carter Dickinson was the nephew of Charles Evans Hughes, who was Chief Justice of the Supreme Court in the early 20s. They took him out of this London lane, and they found out that he would be pretty hard to handle. And they said, okay, we're going to have to kill this guy. So they put a gun to the back of his head to pull the trigger and blew the top of his head off. And when they got him on the ground, when he fell to the ground, they searched his pockets and didn't find as much money as they expected. And when they didn't find as much money as they expected, well, this girl found Jackson in her wailing comment, and by the way, it reached the headlines of the newspaper, she said, oh God, murder? And I got only $9. Out of that deal. But somebody in that crowd had cheated her. her because that man had $134 on his person, and she got only $9 of it. But you know, sin is always a cheater. Have you ever found sin giving back a sum total that it's ever come to somebody? It never does. It always cheats. Sin is a cheater. And that's the reason Jesus Christ died on the cross. And that's exactly the reason he gives us this lesson right here about the Lord's Supper. Because it's a picture of his broken body being broken on the cross. And he died for us, died for the whole human family, that sin might not cheat us and carry us to the devil's head. There are many people today, many people who are being cheated by the sin of unbelief, by every other kind of sin, because they will not trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at verse number 20. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. The word shed right there is from a word which means being shed. Although the blood was filled with veins and arteries of the Lord Jesus Christ, this prophecy is so sure that his blood's going to be shed that he talks as if it's already being poured out. He's already on the cross. The nails have pierced his hands and feet, and the sword has already scratched his side. His blood is trickling from his body. And that's what this picture is right here. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed, being poured out for you. And in the Lord's Supper, we use grape juice here at this church because grape juice is a good picture of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grape juice is red. Grape juice is a liquid. And the blood of Jesus Christ was red. And the blood of Jesus Christ flowed from his body. And so grape juice is a good picture of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Lord's Supper, that is what we do. Now, I know we haven't been to the Lord's Supper here in some time, but it's because we don't have very many Wednesday nights. In the city of Los Angeles, some time back, there were 98 applicants for jobs on the police force. And there was one 28-year-old man in that group taking this examination. They were taking an examination to get on the police force. And one 28-year-old man really wanted the job. Thought that he was fair enough to get on the LAPD, LA Police Department. And he stood a good test. I mean, when that fellow got through with that test, he made 100%. He never missed one question. He never made one slight mistake. And everybody in that room thought, now, boy, if anybody makes it, that boy is going to make it. But you know, just as a matter of routine, they took his fingerprints. And as things turned out, this boy was turned down flat. I mean, he didn't even get the first place. He never got the whole first place. Because they sent his fingerprints to Washington, D.C., and there they found a fingerprint that matched his. And the story came out that 13 years ago, 14 years from the time he took this examination, he was some of his companions went into the stock room of a store there in Los Angeles, and they stole just a small amount of merchandise. And of course, he left his fingerprints where he went in that stockroom place. And he left his fingerprints. He sent those fingerprints to Washington, D.C. They never left the store. They left him alone. And there those fingerprints were in Washington, D.C., waiting to be matched with his if he ever did anything wrong. You know, my friends, some of these days, God is going to unfold the record of every man, every woman, every boy, every girl in this world. I do not know how many billions have lived in the past. I can tell you. I wish I knew how many billions of people have lived in the past. But some of these days, they're going to be raised out of the dust of the earth. Some of them will be saved, some of them will be lost, most of them will be lost. And at the judgment, the record will be revealed before the whole universe. Everybody will see that the crimes have done, that the mistakes have done, the sins committed by the people in this generation and all generations past. Nobody's going to get away with anything. The fingerprints, as it were, are going to be matched. And God said, you did this, and you did that, and you did the other, and you did not trust my son as a person surgeon. So the only thing I can do is just send you to hell. That's the only place. There's no room for it. There's no purgatory. There's no place in the prison. Hell is your portion from now on. You have to stay there forever and forever. And that's when Jesus Christ died, my friends. That's when he died. You know, the ancient Hebrew king one time in 1 Kings 17, 18 said to a prophet, "Hast thou come unto me to call my sin to the remembrance?" Is that the reason that prophet you before me, I go King Ahab? You know, that scoundrel was a scoundrel from the head to his feet. Yeah, King Ahab. And he said to that prophet, "Micaiah, are you standing before me to call my sins to my remembrance? You don't have to do that. I know everything I've done. And some of these days, God is going to call all the sins of all human race to their remembrance." All right, let's keep going. Verse number 21. "And behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table." There's your boy right there. He's not out there in the city. He's not way out there in the country, 20 miles from here. His hand is right with me on the table of that man who's going to betray me. Sell me out to the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes. They're right here. All those guys and 12 apostles had hands. And naturally, I was in the huddle, you know, like a bunch of bees tacking and quacking around. What the hell? Who's tacking with me? Who? I don't know. Is mine? Peter said, John said, I wrote mine. Well, whose hands are? And they all have hands. Yes, sir, the hands of a man who is going to betray me right on the table, right now. And they all went into a huddle and said, "Whose hands are they?" All right, behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. You know, it's been said that the best way to find trouble is to start out looking for it. And that is the best way. If you want to get into trouble, all you have to do is just go maybe down the high street there about a quarter mile looking for trouble, and you surely can find it. Well, that happened one time to a policeman in Kansas City, Missouri, whose name was John Majors. He was radio dispatched to find a small and very vicious dog that had bitten a man, and he got in his patrol car on this route, and he went down the alley to the vicinity where this small dog had bitten this man. Got out of his patrol car, and he was looking behind every garbage can and over every fence to try to find this small dog. And just unexpectedly, suddenly, before he was aware of it, this little dog darted out from behind the garage and slipped up behind this patrolman and sank his feet deep into the calf of that man's leg. Well, he started out looking for trouble out of that, and he got it. And that's the way it is, my friends. People who are tempted by the shining glamour of sin are, in most cases, its eventual victims. They finally wind up. God's advice is, shun the very appearance of evil. Well, here's a man right here whose hands are on the table of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's getting ready to betray Christ. And Jesus said in verse 22, "Truly the Son of Man goeth, as it were, to determine the glory unto that man by whom he is betrayed." God already had determined in eternity that Jesus Christ would not be stabbed to death. He wouldn't be drowned in the Jordan River. He wouldn't be poisoned a mile off. He wouldn't have his hands cut off, or his intestines cut out, or his feet cut off, or his brain knocked out of his head. God had not determined that in eternity, but God had determined in eternity that his son would die on a cross. That's where it was, my brother. And that's what this verse is talking about. Truly, the Son of Man goes as it was determined. And that word determined means to mark out. It means to mark out ahead of time. But woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. Somebody said, Sin was already determined and put down on the cross, then Judas wasn't to blame.
Oh, yes, it was. He was. He was the man. Therefore, Jesus Christ said, woe! That man who betrayed me, my enemy. Woe! What does woe mean? Woe means disaster. It means trouble. Means trouble. It means catastrophe. It means Judas is going to hell. That's what it means. Woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. You know, Jesus Christ said one time about Judas, it would have been better if he had not been born. I said, he did say that. And you know, my friends, when a man goes to hell, it would have been better if that man had never been born, because of the torture, the suffering, the pain, the agony of hell itself. It would have been better if that man had never been born. Maybe stand, please. We have thought. We have said so. Might be somebody here today who is realize that you are lost and not a savior. Need to be saved. Need our prayer. Need our help. Remember when I was lost, boy, I needed help. I was lost. I was blind, deaf, and dumb. I didn't know what to do. Now, I was willing to get help from others. We're willing to help you if you're willing to be helped. As we sing, please start yourself. Thank you.